You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
Yes, a YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. Tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, we're trying to get a seal here and a seal here.
Got to run this play in the alley. What's up, guys? Welcome into Packers Total Access. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. Find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. Email us. PackersTotalAccess@gmail.com. Text us 865-658-5824. Joined alongside Tim live in Green Bay, we got Jacob the Beard in Wisconsin. Ready to talk a little Packers tonight. Mike Berry in the chat said, are we waiting for Emilio? No, we're not waiting for Emilio tonight, man. We had some technical difficulties, but we got it ironed out here. And Emilio, man, I think Emilio is trying to get the honey-do list finished. He's trying to spend time with family to justify the time we're all going to waste watching the draft. I think that's what that is.
Emilio!
What do you think, Jake? Does that sound accurate to you, man?
Nah, we all know what's really going on. His car's in the shop and polished up. Nah, he's exactly. He's good, man. He's good.
Good to go. Let's see here. We got Dick in the chat said, I woke up this morning thinking about what to make while I listen to PTA Live draft Thursday, not going pulled wild pig sandwiches. You got go Pack go. I love it. Wild pig pulled pork sandwich. That sounds amazing, actually. So make sure you get the hair out of there, big dog. You know how that goes, though, right? Gotta do it upright. We got Mike Berry in the chat said, had pork steaks on the grill and sitting down with three fingers of Knob Creek for the show. That sounds a lovely evening there, sir. What's that, Jake?
I'm saying he better make it four fingers. That came out wrong. Well,
easy now, easy, Kelly.
Never mind.
And thank you for being the responsible one, sir.
I was almost.
Speaking of responsible, we all need to be responsible Packer fans. What about over there, Jacob?
Of course, it's you know, Eric. Always.
Eric Sutherland says Jacob in Wisconsin barely. He's damn near a Viking fan. There you go.
Tell you what.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, you lose some every now and again, right?
Bates says, whose fingers is it? Is it LVN's?
It's a good point there. Valid point. Valid question. So,
you know, God, you guys are terrible.
Come on, Tim. What are you going to do?
What is your problem, Tim? Are you
I can't find the – what did you do with it? I can't find the picture I want.
I've been shaking things up.
You sure it ain't one of these fingers?
Yeah, it's kind of rough, man. I ain't gonna lie. A little bit rough. For those of you listening on the pod, that was Larry's pinky out there. All right. So just so you know, sometimes we forget we got podcast listeners out there, and it's like they're probably going, I can't see what you're talking about.
Why those of you listening on the pod. Oh,
Lord. All right, let's get right to it. So Easton Butler tweeted out, the Packers hosted Yale offensive tackle Kyron Amagaji on a top 30 visit. So Kyren Amagaji, offensive tackle from Yale, or as Coach Lombardi used to say, Yale. Obviously, the Packers showing a little bit of interest there. So what I'm going to do is, as we kind of dive into some of these visits, I'm going to go ahead and share. Let's share the vertical board first, and let's see if we can find Mr. Kyren Amagaji here on this list, because I think I've got him fairly high, if I remember correctly. Let's just save a little time here and search the old engine. And let's see. We've got him. So he on the vertical board, he's in the 51 spot is where he sits currently. All right. So on the horizontal board, though, I'm going to take a quick peek over there. On the horizontal board, I got Kyren Amagaji worthy of the 39th pick as far as how the tiers drop there, though. So that's kind of how he falls into play. So it wouldn't be like a terrible reach for Kyren Amagaji with the 25th pick. I think the thing that sticks out to me about Amagaji there is we kind of look at his listing here. Where did he go? Did we lose him? Where are you at, sir? Here we go. All right, so PFF grade 2022, he's the 87th graded tackle. In 2023, he was the 15th graded tackle. So obviously took a huge jump there. The consensus big board back in January had him in the 72 spot, and the 33rd team at the time had him in the 57 spot. You have an incomplete RAS, so that's a bit of a red flag. So when you talk about the 25th pick, hard to believe they would spend the 25th pick on him, seeing that he's not upwards of that 8.3 RAS threshold that we talk about. Jacob, how do you feel about Kyren Amagaji? And I'm going to get your take too here, Tim.
Man, to be honest, I haven't given much thought to him just because I don't see us obviously being in that position or treading up into that position to get him. But, you know, if Goody thinks that he is, you know, the man with the plan, then maybe he will. I don't personally see, you know, I shouldn't say personally. I think that if we were available to pick at that location, that he would definitely be on our radar. But for me personally, and for where we pick, I don't think that it makes sense for us to jump up and try to grab him. I don't think he's going to last till 52 personally. If I had to guess, I think he'll be gone in the first round, to be honest. That's my opinion. Yeah. Just because of, we've talked about how, you know, Ryan, I've actually listened to Ryan's pod lately, and he was like, I think Ryan likes to be kind of, what's the word? He doesn't want to go with trends. So like he saw, he's like, well, eight to 10 tackles are going to be picked in the first round. And he's like, well, I don't really see 8 to 10 tackles being picked in the first round. I think that the NFL still thinks that there are going to be 8 to 10, and some team is going to end up thinking that Kyren Amagaji is a first round talent. That's my opinion. I don't know if that's going to be felt out to be true. Is that 15th overall last year? I'm sorry, in 2022.
Yeah, that is correct. Yes, sir.
And then 87. I mean, that's a pretty good consistency.
PFF, right? Yeah, man.
Yeah, and again, it's Yale. You know, it's not like he's not Ohio State. It's not Georgia, but it's a decent organization. So I wouldn't mind if we got him in the first. If we got him in the second, I'd be ecstatic. So
yeah. So the consensus big board has him currently in the 77 spot. He peaked at 59. Tim, what do you think about Amagaji? And do you have maybe a beat on the 33rd team ranking?
33rd has him at 56th overall.
Okay.
Up a position from before, and then 10th overall at the position. So just some of the notes that I had is smooth movement, good hand use, grip strength. But he does have a little bit of an awareness lack thereof trait. A little bit of lack of awareness because he is kind of a raw talent. That's what the 33rd team has on him. Raw yet strong and powerful O-lineman who possesses the hand use and movement skills to be a starting left tackle. So I think Jacobs, you know, could be right here. There may be teams out there that see him, you know, as a project worth starting. So, you know, I could see him maybe late first round, early second round. You never know.
Yeah. I think he'll be gone by the third is kind of how I'm feeling here. But I think 41 would probably be a lot better than 25. I don't necessarily think this is on their radar for 25, but we do have to take into consideration too what we talked about when it comes to how the Packers have reached in the past. You know, they reached like probably right in between the third or the 15th pick and the 50th pick last year. Or I'm sorry, the 13th pick and the 42nd pick last year. Those guys were ranked 15th and 50th. So if you go kind of right in the middle there, you're talking about reaching maybe 10 spots. That's a bit more of a reach for Amagaji at 25. So I'd say they've kind of got an eye on him for the 41 spot would be my best. So
I actually mistaked myself. So I thought it was talking about Suma. Is it Suma Toyoya or how do you pronounce his name? Suma.
I've always called him Sua Mataya, but I'm sure that's wrong.
Sua Mataya. So I think that he'll go before the gentleman we're talking about now, but I do still think there's a chance this guy goes in the first, just because like Prince made a good point here. He goes, we're all banking on the OT run in the first. Watch defensive positions get obliterated instead, since there are fewer top prospects there. I heard somebody say that the top 10 prospects could possibly be all offense, which would be the first time it's ever happened. I've heard multiple podcast hosts say that this is the weakest defensive draft in the first round they've ever seen in recent history. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt as you will, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah, that's everything I've heard. It's top heavy on offense. And then there's going to be a run.
You got Sua Tomoyo lower than Amagaji on your board, don't you?
Yeah, I've got him in the 60 spot. And the reason being, he graded out 62nd best tackle in 2022, 200th best in 2023, took a little bit of a dip back there. And then the consensus big board has him in the had him in the 40 spot at the time. 33rd team had him in the 36th spot. I need to double check that PFF grade, though. Let me do that real quick. Give me just 1 second. I want to see and make sure I've got that grade right, because it might have got crossed up with the big board. I just want to make sure, because I've been catching a couple of errors here or there. Yeah, so 2023, his grade was 89.5, but he only had 234 snaps, though. So I think what I did was I went with his big board positioning on PFF at the time, because it was such a small sample size. I didn't want to overgrade that, you know, seeing that there was only 234 snaps in 2023. So there's some decisions you got to make when you're creating a board in that regard, you know, when you get like a minimal amount of snaps. And it's like, okay, what do you really want to hang your hat on, right? So that's kind of how that's.
Can I ask Tim a question? Because obviously we know Mr. Tim is usually a defensive-minded type of person. Look at the grouping here from 60 to 68. You got Kingsley there. You got Tyler Guyton. You have Von Prawn. You got Cedric Gray. Oladapo, Zinter. And then if you really want to tack on, you can have Bucky Irving. Like, look at that grouping there, Tim. Where are you going? I know you like Von Prawn. I know you like defense. I know you like linebackers. What are you doing if the proverbial weapon is to your head? What are you doing?
Cedric Gray.
Is that real?
Really? Yeah, I mean, I feel like linebacker is a spot that we've got to load up some talent there, but you know, that would be my defensive pick there, I guess.
Bullard's there too, Tim.
Yeah, Javon Bullard. You know, I'm confident that we're gonna get our hands on Tyler Newbin, so we'll see. Clayton has spoke that into existence, so we'll see if it happens. But I think my offensive pick, you know, not to sound redundant, would probably be Von Prawn or you know, probably Zach Zinter, maybe in that spot if we're talking, yep, you know, offensive pick. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Bucky Irving, you know, good talent there as well. And then, you know, yeah, it's tough because I'm trying to get myself out of that habit lately, Jacob. You know, like I'm so defensive minded. It's like we do have issues on the O line. We got to shore up and address. And I think the draft's a good place to do it. So I would not be surprised if we go O-line early, possibly even at 25, depending on what's available. But, yeah, I mean, that grouping, like you said, that really 62 to 68, 69 is very interesting right there.
You can even extend that a little bit. Look at that. DJ James, we love him. Josh Newton, Christian Mahogany, Javon Foster, we've talked about him. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is right there. Like, that's an interesting pick there.
Yep.
Everything's
Christian Mahogany is another one that's kind of crept up my list.
Yeah. Everything screams trade back, man. It really does.
Yeah.
And this is when Goody will trade up and take a receiver with like the 15th. Yep. That's
what'll happen. You watch your mouth.
Exactly. I did a really cool mock draft earlier. I'm embarrassed to say what I'm about to say, but uh-oh. I did a full mock draft where I worked the entire horizontal board. It took 2 hours and 45 minutes for me to work that board. And in the process, and the reason I do this every year in the final week, I came up with, I think it was 32 prospects to add to the board. So it's pretty strenuous as far as walking through that kind of mock. And the way I do it too is I force myself to trade back several times. So you could kind of really get a broader picture of where the depth is in the draft. I like how the draft ended up. PFF hated it, but I traded back like 5 times in a row, 2 or 3 picks, just to try to see, okay, where's the true value? And I ended up landing a ton of people in the top 50 on my board. It was really cool. So, So our Shower's in here, man. He's just negative about everything tonight. Look at my man coming in. Oh, Showers. Shower says, I don't want the 10th best anything in the first, and neither should anyone else, or the second. And then he says, then he comes in and says, Rake Straw is extremely suspect, even at 41.
Now 10's going to be on you. Now 10's going to be on you.
You were just a ball of joy here, Shower. We appreciate you swinging in and shining that light. So let that thing shine. So, all right. So the other news that broke, the other had Eric Goody going to break all of our hearts by trading up for a quarterback in the first.
Oh, my gosh.
Goody gonna cause a divorce if we trade up in the first to take a quarterback. No doubt about that. So the other one.
Did you see Eric Sutherland's comment? Oh my god!
Oh, can we show it or no?
Oh yeah, we actually can. That's funny.
All right, pop it up, bro. Let's see it.
Rick Strong gonna be there at 25, and Goody's gonna crush Tim's soul and draft an O lineman.
Well, even worse, Rick Strong gonna be there at 58. And Goody trades out of the pick. It takes a running back or something, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, the other one, let's get into this real quick. Jalen Carlisle, safety out of Missouri. Okay, so Tom Silverstein tweeted out another Packers top 30 visit is Missouri safety Jalen Carlisle's, a 6'3", 229-pound prospect with the second longest wingspan amongst DBs at the combine with 80 5/8". And says more about him here at jsonline.com. Okay, so Jalen Carlisle, let's see where he lands on the board real quick here on the vertical board. And then
that's one of Emilio's boys. Emilio loves him.
Is that right?
Yep.
Let's see here. I know I'm misspelling it. Hold on just a second, boys.
Another one from Missouri. Jalen
Carlisle. So this is one I'm not very high on. I've got Jalen Carlisle on the vertical board at the 247 spot. And the reason being, in 2022, 460th graded safety. In 2023, 422nd. And the consensus big board in January had him at 284. The 33rd team has him at 192. Of course, he did have that great RAS, which they kind of mentioned there. So when it comes to Jalen Carlisle, I think he does meet all the requirements, if I remember correctly. I'm going to hop over to the horizontal and check that real quick just to make sure. But I think he was one. Yeah, Jalen Carlisle meets the maximum threshold, according to Packer Report, when it comes to safeties for the Packers. As far as his snaps, he went deep. He had deep snaps the most, box second, and slot third. So there's a lot of versatility there with Jalen Carlisle. It's just I think I'm kind of seeing him as a much later prospect than a lot of other people are. Now, I could be completely wrong there, as you guys are well aware, but what you got, Jake?
Yeah, I was just wondering, and so was Chris. Serious question for you, Clayton. What's the tattoo going to be that you put on your neck?
Yeah, if I have to get a tattoo on my neck.
And Smitty says it may be race car bed. That's my deal. Sure
I'll do something that? I've been wanting to do for a long time, and it'll be it would be some kind of tribal work with historical dates in it, maybe a little bit of
fine. I love how he's thinking about it. He's actually thinking about it.
I love that. Believe it or not, I love tattoos. Hello. So, yeah, It would be something with meaning for sure. It wouldn't just be Emilio in his race car bed. So it would be something that there would be as little amount of regret as possible getting. You know what I mean? Like okay, I'm going to try to justify it somehow, some way. I'm still going to be pissed if we trade up for a quarterback, but the tattoo will try to make that tolerable. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Anyway, it ain't happening, guys. Keep speaking it for me, Tim. I need you to pray on that tonight too, bub. Okay. get all over that. So, Jalen Carlisle, again, I see him as a late round pick. Do you guys disagree with that, or what do you think? Let me go to consensus big board. Tim, if you could pull up Jalen Carlisle on the 33rd team and tell me what they currently have him at, because those numbers have shifted from when I originally made my board for sure. The
safety out of Missouri. Let's see. 219th overall, 14th overall safety.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeesh. All right. The consensus big board has him currently in the 237 spot. He peaked at 118. So when he peaked, it was actually in January. I'm showing a 121. So that 284 is off on my board there. So these are it's the reason we're doing this stuff is to try to fine-tune everything as we come down the stretch here. So if in January he was 121, that is going to change that up just a touch for my board, 121. So let's go ahead and change that real quick, and I'll get these numbers addressed here shortly. So I don't know, Jacob, where would you be okay with taking him, man?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Oof. It'd probably have to be around that earliest fourth, maybe fifth, sixth. I'd feel comfortable. I think that he has a lot of intangibles that we're looking for. And that Missouri defense, like Tim talked about, there's just dogs always. There's just dogs there. And we talked about it earlier. Like, is it because that there's this one guy that's that good, or is it because of the fact that he's playing off of the fact that there's three or four other really great defensive players on that team? You know, you never know. So I think that's where people that scoff at the, oh, guys on film, the film guys or the stat guys, whatever your scoff is, it's like you have to take it all into consideration. In my opinion, Missouri is a really good defensive kind of skilled organization. So like, I think that they recruit to have guys that are dogs like that. So anybody that comes from a Missouri defense, I'm kind of like, I have a little bit of a bias towards them because I just think that they're ball players. That's what I feel like. I don't know. Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, no, definitely. And it shows with, when you look at some of the breakdowns on these players, I mean, Carlisle, for example, you know, great instincts, super active against the run. I mean, sounds that. Sounds like a safety that, you know, we may be looking for, at least that type of cut from that cloth, you know, someone a little more effective in the run game to help complement this good pass defense. So, but yeah, for some reason, these guys keep popping up on my lists, and you know, you're right. Missouri might be emerging as, you know, a breeding ground for top tier defenders for all we know, especially it seems like secondary corners and safeties.
You know, what's funny is I actually, I'm starting a new job. I'm working with some new people, and there was a young kid I work with. He's from Jersey, and he goes, "Hey, yeah, yo, who's a sports fan?" I went, "The Packers," and he's like, "The Packers." He goes, "Oh, my boy McKinney went to you guys." He's like, he's a diamond in the rough. I'm like, "How'd you sign him?" And I'm like, "Yo," I was like, "Can you just say what you just said again? I want to record it." And he's like,
"No, he's that accent you're using, bro. I'm waiting for you to sound like Michael Scott and say, don't drop the soap. Don't drop the soap."
Hey, that's just the way we talk in the clink.
Oh, thank Perfect you, Tim. Drop.
Perfect drop. So Jalen Carlisle jumps to 236 after adjusting that consensus big board. So not a huge jump, but still one of those later round guys for sure. So, yeah, United Bates, absolutely North Jersey. Love it. All right. Look at this. Look at this guy right here. Everybody get them cameras going. We got the man in the house. Emilio, how's the family doing, big dog?
They're good. They actually just had it out. My ear was ringing, though. Were you talking about me or Jalen Carlisle? I couldn't tell.
Exactly. I told him, Emilio.
Jacob, I appreciate you sticking up for me, man. That's my boy right there.
Yeah, so I've got him in the 236 spot, yeah, Emilio. The PFF grades hurt him quite a bit.
Yeah.
But absolutely crushes the RAS, right?
PFF isn't everything, Clayton. You know that.
I love it. It's like we can all make an argument for our favorite guys by saying, yeah, but the consensus big board isn't everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the RAS isn't everything, right? So, yeah, but there's no doubt about it, man. That wingspan and that, you know, 6'2", 6'3" frame, whichever websites you want to trust there. Tom Silverstein, usually pretty confident in those measurements, and he said 6'3". That's something that's going to be on people's radar, no doubt about it. So,
dog right there.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's where he ends up landing on the board. Now, R. Showers asked, please go through where you have the top five safeties on your board, please. You got it, man. Let's do this. So that's
very nice. Thank you for asking.
What I'm going to do to make it a little bit easier, I'm going to drop this down, and we're going to go to the horizontal board for this. So let's go horizontally. And it'll take me a minute to get this zoomed in just right for you guys here. But let's see if we can get it in here where you can actually – there we go. All right. So – when it comes to the top five safeties, this is how my horizontal board sits. All right, you notice this huge void here until you get to Tyler Newbin. So the very first safety on my board is Tyler Newbin. He comes in about the 22 spot on the horizontal board. So keep in mind he's on the vertical board. He's a little bit lower than that, but that's kind of where he sits there. See this space that drops off. My second best safety is Javon Bullard. Okay. Out of Georgia. He's worthy of right around the 47th pick, okay, horizontally. Now, keep in mind, that means there's going to be players dropping too, so you can, by the time you pick, if players underneath Javon Bullard are taken before, then you're probably going to have players up in here that are going to carry a lot more value than a Javon Bullard. So that's why I always mention worthy of, meaning, you know, two spots for the placeholder right around this range, you would feel okay, that's not too much of a reach. The third best safety on my board is Oladapo. Now, notice he's in that purple color, right? The magenta, if you will. That means that he's a top 30 visit, and he's also a Senior Bowl guy. All right. So Packers love Senior Bowl guys. They also love those top 30 visits. So kind of a higher percentage that the Packers would have their eyes on him when that, you know, comes along. Now, the fourth best safety I've got. Brace yourself, Emilio. We got Taylor Demerson here, right?
Top five, baby.
He's worthy of the 57th pick if no one were to fall, right? Kind of somewhere around that range. And again, vertically, probably be a little bit different. I'm going to just take a quick peek here and give you guys an idea of where he sits on the vertical board currently, if I can find him. let's see, a little bit higher than, yeah, okay, so I've got him in the 80 spot on the vertical board, all right, on the vertical big board there, Taylor Demerson. So the next safety on the horizontal board would be Cam Kitchens. You guys remember way back when, early in the offseason, when Cam Kitchens was the number one safety on the board?
Yes.
I was going, I don't see this, boys. Do y'all remember that? And I like, I kind of got roasted for it, and I'm second-guessing myself, going, what, I don't understand, what's everybody seeing him? Slowly over time, he just continues to drop, right? So now he's the fifth best safety, according to my horizontal board here, but still worthy of right around the 64th pick there if you wanted to trust the horizontal board with every fiber in you. So, yeah. And keep in mind, like Chris N says, I've got Cooper DeJean as a cornerback. And the reason being is he took the large majority of his snaps last year as an outside corner. And his secondary amount of snaps he took as a slot corner. He took very, very, very minimal snaps as a safety. It was a box safety, something to the tune of like 20 snaps. You hear the draft experts talk about projecting someone to be a certain position, right? You guys know Mel Kiper said he's the best safety in the draft.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. Who the hell is Mel Kiper in a way? So Cooper DeJean, he can play safety. There's no doubt about it, right? I think we would all agree he could play safety. I just don't like the fact that he played so much on the outside. Now, all of a sudden, he's just going to jump over safety and not miss a beat, you know? And it'd be different if the majority of his snaps were he was in the slot, right? But the large majority were on the outside. So, I don't know. That's just kind of how I see it. So, if you were to slide Cooper DeJean over to the safety position, that would mean Cooper DeJean is the second best safety. So, now, I just
don't know about that.
Yo, Timmy, let's go.
Cole Bishop might have something to say about that.
So if you were to go down just a touch more past Kitchens, I've got Kalen Bullock, right, out of USC. He played deep, box, then slot. Mustafa played box, deep, then slot. Then you got Jalen Simpson. What's that?
I was going to say Mustafa, though. He's like, he's 5'9". He's 5'10".
Right.
You know? That's the only – like, that guy plays like he's 6'2". And he's 230 pounds. He plays like an absolute dog, but that's the only knock on him. That's what I'll say.
So let that's ask, plus with Oladipo.
Ola Home Depot. Get it right.
Ola Home Depot. Yeah, he's 6'2", 216. That's a big safety. He's probably the biggest safety.
Emilio, get your one stuff of the bigger ones.
Yeah, you can do it. We can help. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my.
Yeah, so Coach Lynn says, wow, Oladipo is that high for you, no Hicks. Let's see where Hicks falls. And then let's explain why Hicks is where he is.
Same with Jay. Jay's asking where's Hicks at. I watched some film of his. I posted it on my Twitter. Jaden Hicks is a baller. And, again, I'll say that he's one of those guys that he reminds me of a Brian Branch kind of guy or the Hamilton. Like, he doesn't test great. He just is a baller. He just plays football. He's just a good football player. That's personally what I think of him. So he has actually raised if I could get Jaden Hicks in the third, that'd be great. Oladipo in the like where Clayton has him listed, I think that's justified. I just don't know if it's realistic. But I could see multiple teams thinking that if Oladipo, if he is that good. Yeah, he'll go that quick. Like, I really do think – I mean, look at his – dude, his PFF grade's 90s, guys. Mm-hmm. He's in the 90s. He's a freak. He's a freak.
So you asked about Hicks. I've got him and Cole Bishop neck and neck, right? Not necking. I've got him neck and neck, him and Cole Bishop. And here's why Jaden Hicks is so low. PFF grade, 431st graded safety in 2022. 2023, the 160th highest graded safety. If you remove the PFF grades altogether, you would have had a consensus big board of 103 and a 33rd team of 75. And his RAS was in the eights last I checked. So I noticed some of that stuff's been too, so I may need to go back and double check some of these. But he was a Senior Bowl participant, which the Packers love their Senior Bowl guys. But I can't get beyond the whole PFF thing. You know what I'm saying? Emilio, what are you laughing?
Eric Sutherland's already on my back.
what he had to say. Eric Sutherland said, Emilio looks more Canadian than Italian.
That also doesn't look like Eric Sutherland in the picture.
It's a very, very good point there. Who do you think you are? I am. So, yeah, I'm going to ask you, Emilio, how do you feel about where we got Hicks? And listen, guys, if you disagree, please say so. Like, this is – I welcome this. Are you guys – do you not take the PFF grades as serious as I do? Like, do you just kind of look at it like, it's just kind of a reference, or do you think it's something that really truly matters?
Right. Well, for DTD, it definitely matters. For Jalen Carlisle, it definitely does not matter, honestly. But, everybody has to have a spot. I really don't mind it. There's different ways to break it down. Everybody's board's different. So it doesn't really matter where he lands. It matters on how much you personally like him, how much you think Goody and, Jeff Hafley are going to like him. So that's where I think, we kind of get real splitting hairs down at the end here, where it's like, what's it going to matter? Once all these people are gone, we're just going to have the 11 we're looking at. And we're good to go.
Right. And it's wild too, because when you go to the PFF grades, again, I just confirmed that 431st in 2022, 113th in 2023, but PFF has him 54th on their big board. So it's like,
right.
Which do you trust? I'd rather go off the grades. I feel like the grades is something I just, again, there's about seven different qualifiers that go into my board. So it's not like the PFF is going to skew it that much.
And that's why that's why I like your board though, Clayton, is because it's not, all right, let's take one, two, or three. We have six, seven different. I mean, by the time next year comes around, we might have 10 different additions, right? And each year we add something, and it really does look better each time you touch it. So I'm just excited to see it all come together.
Sorry, I couldn't help. So someone asked a question here. I want you guys to carry the conversation.
At, Clayton? Oh, hold on. We get to reverse it. What are you laughing at, Clayton?
What do you mean?
Why are you laughing?
So I'm going to take a look at something here. All right. Shut up, Jacob. So Michael in the chat says, considering PFF is subjective, the stats need to be given equal weight. I'm going to go Google the definition of subjective, and then I'm going to come back. And I'm going to try to look at the SIS data too. So what I want to pull up here is I want to look at I want to look at his tackle percentage, he being Jaden Hicks. And I also want to, Jaden Hicks. And then I also want to look at his passer rating when targeted, since we're talking about stats should be given equal weight. So you guys carry the conversation, man. I'm going to see if I can get SIS to fire up here.
I'm just saying, as soon as Emilio joins, I can't stop laughing, and I hate it. I love you, buddy, but like
the problem is I'm not even looking at, like how we can see each other normally. I'm still on the guest version, so I'm just laughing at myself. Like, I don't even see Jacob laughing in the background, but I can hear him laughing, right? Like, I can hear that he has that happiness in his voice.
I can hear the beard.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just saying. Oh, boy.
But no, I really am kind of excited to see how it all plays out. But I like that Cole Bishop is in front of him for Wicks. But besides that, man.
Emilio, we've talked about what we need in a safety. We don't need like a deep safety. We need a guy that's really willing to put his head down and go play in the box, play the run. Mm-hmm. Do you have a specific safety that you think can do that role? Like we've talked about, in my opinion, it's Bullard. If you're going to go in the top two rounds, after that, maybe Kalen Bullock. After that, I go to your guy DDT. What is your thoughts there? We've talked about Tim's guy Omar Brown, like in the late rounds. We used to think that Ola Dapo was the seventh rounder. I don't think that's possible anymore. I think he's going in the first three. What are your thoughts?
Right. No, I think you're right on that. I don't think that the talk and the fact that, anybody that the Packers bring in and look at, you don't think all the other teams are checking them out like, hey, what's going on here? So, besides the fact we're looking at our top 30 visits, all the other teams' top 30 visits, they're all peeking at each other. I definitely think you're right in the fact that, there's a couple different levels there. Bullard, I would probably take in the first, two there. For that downhill safety, we need someone that's not always looking to backpedal, right? We need someone that's going to plant that foot and come downhill. and not be afraid, like you said, to stick your head in and, you know, break it up. We need quick reactions. We need someone that can flip their hips if they get sucked in on a draw play and it end up being a pass. So I like that. I really do like DTD for that. And the other thing is that Jalen Carlisle, I don't know, you brought him up earlier. That dude is a freak as well. Like, for how fast he can run and move, in a late round guy, I wouldn't mind that at all. And kind of coaching him up to play, you know, box down.
You know, I
just read your private chat, Emilio. How do just get it done? So anyway, sponsor the show, Home Depot. Michael Redden. The question that Michael Redden asked, right? Considering PFF is subjective, the stats need to be given equal weight. So I pulled the SIS data. Passer rating when targeted amongst safeties in college football. Our boy, Jaden Hicks, comes in 62nd with a passer rating when targeted of 65.1. So 62nd in passer rating when targeted. All right. And now you guys continue to talk, and I'm going to try to pull us up some run defense stats.
Yeah, so the chat's saying that Bullock is not great at run defense. And honestly, I did not know that. I thought the
back. We know what he's good at. That's what I need.
Well, Bullock is that typical slot slash box safety. But, you know, people are saying that he's not great at tackling. And honestly, like Emilio said, like that's
I didn't say it. People said it. I didn't say
it. I didn't say it. Everybody's saying it. I just want somebody that's going to be a lockdown. Like, I want a dog at safety.
That's not Bullock then.
Okay.
Well, didn't we already sign the dog? Didn't we already sign a dog at safety?
Have enough dogs.
This is off the rails, boys. What the hell is going on out here? All right, so let's try to pull it up by safety position, and I think missed tackle percentage will probably be the most important thing. Don't you guys think?
Oof, they do not like Bullock in the chat. I'm telling you.
Well, wow. His strengths are he's a strong communicator, natural in transition, and his build or frame, 6'2", 188. Okay.
Hey, here we go.
Yeah, 188, 9%.
Lacks aggressiveness and effort, poor eye discipline, and poor tackling technique. There's the guy I don't want
to. Yeah, here's the guy. I love those analysis, though. It's like for the first three, they're like, he's the best football player ever. He can tackle anyone. And like the next three are like, he's the worst football player ever.
right.
Can't do anything.
Here's what's crazy. When you pull up his broken tackle plus missed tackle percentage as a safety, he's not even the best safety on Washington State's team in that regard. Yikes. So he comes in the 100 spot. At 14.9% block tackle or blown tackle plus missed tackle or broken tackle plus missed tackle. So, once again, someone calls us on PFF. We go to the stats to draw a parallel, and the stats suggest Jaden Hicks is not that good of a safety. So, he's not terrible, but the 113th graded safety.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Again, passer rating when targeted. He was ranked 62nd in college football. And then with broken tackle / missed tackle percentage, he comes in the 100 spot. So there you go.
He also threw eight benches up for his eight bench presses up for his reps.
That's not that good, bub.
That is 2%. And his vertical was 33 inches.
Jacob just got up and left. He's like, I've had
enough. Is the chair spinning? I can't see.
If the chair's spinning, you know what's going on. Someday we will tell the rest of that story. Today is not that day, though.
Oh, we're going to give him some.
I was trying to find Nubit on this list, but SIS is kind of hard to navigate, especially when you're live streaming a show. So not working that good, bub. But
I'm with Jake Cole in the chat. I'm trying to find it. Yeah, right here. I'll take Bishop over Bullock.
True.
100% of the time, every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and it seems like that's kind of how the board sits too. Bishop is just barely edging out, you know, Bullock. So, yeah, that's how it sits. So that was fun though, man. I'm glad we answered that question because, again, those type of questions are really what we're coming down the wire with here, and we're trying to figure out, okay, what exactly are we trying to learn as we approach the draft? Where are people shifting to? Like I said, we found a little error on the board, shifted a guy up a few spots. He didn't move, but maybe one tier higher, but still, it does matter. So, number one Packer fan. Oh, can we read it or no? Number one Packer fan said, when a Wisconsin man tries to say dog with a country accent, LOL, Lord have mercy. So
you call me anything you want, but don't call me that.
Oh my goodness. All right, what else did we have on the docket here? I had a bunch of stuff we were going to talk about, and we're already off the rails. So we talked about Jalen Carlisle, right? So I did a trade monster mock earlier. I do this every year just to kind of a really cool little exercise to trade back multiple times. Essentially, what I'm doing is working. Salt and peppers here. I work the horizontal board as if there's no time restraint. Now, obviously, there's no way that an NFL team would be able to trade back multiple times, right? So I just kind of walk my way through the draft, two or three picks, looking to trade, all that good stuff, right? So it's going to be hard for you to see. I'm going to kill my camera so I can get up here and actually see it. I'm going to read off what happened here. So no one would accept a trade for us to trade out of the 25th pick. So I did the old stick and pick and took Kool-Aid McKinstry at 25. At 41, I took Tyler Newbin because he was hands down the best player on my board. And then you'll notice the next few picks here, I traded back 1, 2, 3, 4 times in a row, okay? And I got Junior Colson with the 66th pick. Then I took Braylon Trice, awesome edge defender in my opinion, out of Washington with the 91st pick. We went tackle Dominic Pooney with the 93rd pick. And then I think what I did was I traded up, I believe, if I remember correctly. I traded back up to 96 and got Jeremiah Trotter Jr. And then I think I traded back up again and got Tavondre Sweat. He fell all the way to 107 in that mock. Jacob, you were asking the other day, right, like how far do we think he's going to drop? In this case, he fell all the way to 107. I ended up taking Bo Limmer with the 126th pick. I got my second best running back in this draft, according to my horizontal board, in Audric Estime at 130. And then I took Hayden Hatton at 236. That was probably my favorite pick of the entire draft was Hayden Hatton. Like it was – he was so high on my horizontal board. I'm going to show you guys this cat. Last year, Jacob, do you remember – me getting hounded because I was so high on Puka Nacua? Yes, sir. It feels like Hayden Hatton is that guy this year. So I'm going to share the horizontal board real quick and show you what I mean here. And let's look at Hayden Hatton. And I could be making a mistake here. That's definitely possible. So let me drop that down. So you see Hayden Hatton sitting right here with a grade of 58, right? So that would suggest he's worthy of like the 39th pick. I did everything in my power to not take a wide receiver. Okay, so when I hop over to the vertical board, let's see where Hayden Hatton drops and what makes him so high on my board and whether or not we need to put stock into it. All right, Hayden Hatton is sitting in the 52 spot on my board. Let me just drop this down. I want you guys to see that horizontal aspect. Let me get the vertical up. This is a good test run for the draft, how quick we can get stuff pulled up to. Seems like it's going pretty good, don't it? So look at this stuff, boys. This is he played for Idaho, not Utah, Idaho. Okay. So he was the second highest graded wide receiver in 2022. the fifth highest graded wide receiver in 2023. The consensus big board in January had him in the 167 spot. The 33rd team doesn't even have him on his board. So that's why he came in so high on my board. Last year, Puka Nacua, if I remember correctly, was the highest graded wide receiver in college football. And he dropped because it's like, oh, well, no, I couldn't figure it out. I was just
He had a little bit of injury concern is what his thing was. I looked it up. Yeah. And it was very minimal, but they saw he was a small school kind of guy, like kind of thing. And like, dude, Puka was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Tim, see, double check and see if Hayden Hatton is on the 33rd team. I don't think he is.
He is not.
Okay. I'm going to do is I'm going to hop back to the consensus big board and see where they got him. And we're going to try to find all the information we can on Hayden Hatton. Because I'm telling you, man, there's something there. You know, the draft's getting close to the mock draft database website is slower than molasses right now. Everybody's on there trying to get the information. So let's see here. Hayden Hatton, where you at, buddy? Because I'm pretty sure he's going to be extremely low right now. He's in the 384 spot, Hayden Hatton is. So why? My question is why? Why is Hayden Hatton so low on the board? Does anybody have an answer for him? Because I can't figure it out. Injury concerns? You know what I mean? Like,
it's small school and the fact that we have possibly the best wide receiver draft in the top 10 that we've had in the last 10 years. Think about it. Wide receivers going arguably you could say that the top three wide receivers are definitely going to go in the top seven picks, top 10 for sure. That's my opinion. And we've talked about it. Like, it's crazy because this is a draft where it seems like it's wide receiver very heavy to the point where we're looking right now. Hayden Hatton is a guy that is just he's a freak, and he played for the is it Idaho, I believe.
Idaho.
So, you know, maybe people are sleeping on this guy, and you know what? Do it. Sleep on him. I remember a guy that was from Alcorn State. Y'all remember him?
I remember that guy. Yeah. So he was ranked 167 on January 21st, and watch him drop here down to 220, down to 224, down to 35. They've stopped playing football. 291. 299, 303, bottoms out at 366. Then March 17th, somehow, some way, jumps from 366 to 299, and then slowly declines again. I can't figure it out.
What coach said there?
Yeah, Coach Lynn says one of my wide receivers I coach played with Hatton at Idaho. He told me he is a dog. So,
Coach, here's a guy being slept on.
Do you want what Draft Buzz has on him?
Yeah, let's see what draft was. Oh.
So he's 6'1", 209, 9 2/8 inch hands with 30 6/8 inch arms, 74 6/8 inch span, 40 time of 4.63, shuttle of 4.22, a vertical of 39, broad of 12.2, 3 cone of 7.17, and benched 14 reps. They have him as a overall rank of 336, position rank 41. Okay.
I'll say it's because his 40 time. That's why he's fallen. His 40 time was 4.63.
There you go.
Nobody
11th percentile.
Exactly. So nobody's going to be looking at the guy in the top of their percentile. Like, they're not going to draft this dude in the fourth rounds. But maybe he's one of those crazy guys that you can get in the fifth, sixth, seventh round that, like, actually makes a difference. He actually makes it. Like, we've talked about how the fact that, you know, DeBose and those kind of guys, like, they're not going to be immediate starters. It's just not going to happen. No matter how much we want him to be that, you know, that diamond in the rough, it's like, this guy could maybe actually be that. And we get him as in a discount. Hayden Hatton is a baller. So,
yeah. Was he at the combine? Do we know? Was he at the combine, Hayden Hatton? Because the reason I want to know if we have a GPS time on him through the gauntlet.
It was from his the 40 time was from his pro day.
Okay, gotcha. So he probably didn't get invited to the combine then.
I don't see a combine time on any of them, no.
All right, I'm going to pull. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Did y'all hear that?
It cut out.
All right, you can hear me right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So y'all y'all ain't even ready for this, man. I'm about to blow your minds here. So we're going to pull Puka Nacua's RAS. All right. Brace yourself, boys. This is hideous. All right. I apologize for the ads. Hopefully this thing don't start screaming at us here. So Puka Nacua's RAS was a 5.17. His 40-yard dash was 4.56. So that is significantly better than the 4. What was it? 4.6 what again?
4.63.
Okay, so Puka Nacua, 5.17. He was at 6'1", similar size there, right? Vertical jump was cheeks. Shuttle was absolutely horrible. Look at the shuttle. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the best route runners in the game. It's just wild. Absolutely wild. So let me hop back out now and see if we can find our boy, his card. And again, that is Hayden Hatton. Give me just 1 second, guys. Here.
What are you laughing at, Emilio?
Nothing.
I can't be on a stream with you, dude. we just laugh at each other every
freaking time. Oh man, good to be back.
That's a private chat, Jacob.
Oh no,
is the chair spinning? All right, here's the Hayden Hatton RAS. This is wild. He's got a 6.78 RAS, so it's officially a 4.69 40. 20-yard split was decent. The shuttle was way better than Puka. The three cone right in the same ballpark. Vertical jump 39 inches. He's 6'1", just like Puka. 14 bench reps. I don't know, man. I'm just saying this is a guy might want to keep an eye on. It's going to be at least interesting to see where he's drafted, if he is drafted, right? Because it just feels a little bit like Puka, man. Like Puka.
His receiving is tough.
Yes, it is, Brett.
You guys talk amongst yourself. I'm going to read this private chat and why the heck y'all are laughing like schoolgirls.
I don't know. Honestly, like, what do you guys think? Like, what are the actual projections that we could actually take a wide receiver? I mean,
well, you're saying you said the top three are going to go in the first 7 to 10 picks, probably, right?
Yes, sir. Yes,
so you're saying Malik Nabers, Harrison Jr., and Roma Dunze?
Yes.
Okay. So, of the top tier group, who do you think falls? Who would be your first, you know, beyond those three?
To be honest, if Brock Bowers falls to 16, I think the Goody is talking to a lot of people. And not because he wants to replace Musgrave or Kraft. I think that he sees Brock Bowers as that H-back, what DeGuara was supposed to be. That's my opinion. I know. Are you
planting that flag? We're going to take a tight end in the first round, Jacob.
I would only plant that flag just because that's the most Goody thing you could ever do.
That is. Nobody's talked about it, and you're the first one to bring it up.
Yes, that's like he'll trade up to get Brock Bowers when every consensus means that we don't need him. We don't need a tight end. I'm looking literally like that. Actually, Emilio, that's the way I look at this draft is. What's the most obscure thing that you could ever think of that would happen? That's probably going to happen. We're going to draft a center. We're going to draft a fullback. We're going to do something.
That would be wild if he pulled the trigger on a tight end in the first round.
Randy Cleaver says, our wide receiver room is good. Don't think we need to draft one. See, that's why I took him in the 200s. Mm-hmm. I looked at Hayden Hatton and I'm like, why not? You know? Why not take him right there? I'm not suggesting you spend a third or a fourth round pick on Hayden Hatton. I'm just simply saying, like, why is he not? It's got to be the 40. It's the 40. It's got to be. That's it, you know? And maybe he is just kind of a possession receiver, one of those type of guys. It's hard to find a whole lot of write-ups on him. I know that. But M. Smitty said in the chat, Clayton, based on that composite ranking, I sent you Puka was one spot higher than Wicks. That's pretty wild to see those guys kind of grouped together, right? Pretty cool stuff there. So I think Wicks is wide receiver number one, and I don't mean wide receiver number one in a sense of let's force him the ball. I think he's going to be your best route running wide receiver, and I think he's a guy that you can't afford to take off the field. Keep him on the field. Move him around from the slot. Move him to the Z. Let him play flyer. All those things.
Well, we Clinton, we talked about it a couple of podcasts ago where it's like, you can't look at Brock Bowers in the same way as like, do I take a tight end in the first round? It's like, do I take a slot receiver in the first round? Like, this guy is that talented where he defies the stereotypical area that a tight end should play. And he's, what is he, like 6'4", 235? Like, the guy, he can move. And he's faster than most tall wide receivers. So that's an interesting component.
Yeah, Brock Bowers is, in my opinion, I could be wrong. He's definitely that wider. He's a pass catching tight end, right? Blocking is not his strength, but he is just, I mean, he is a dog in the passing game. There's no two ways about it. As far as him, could he play H? I'm sure he could. I just don't think you would want him to, because he's more valuable flexing him out and creating those mismatches. Like, if you show an 11 personnel, defenses have got to decide, are we going to treat it like true 11 or are we going to treat it like 10? Or if you come out in a 12 personnel, are you going to treat that like an 11 personnel because Brock Bowers is one of those two tight ends that's on the field, right? So as far as Sanat, now I've heard Sanat more of that H-back, right? But
that's, you know, what I was going to ask. Do you have any opinions on Sanat?
So Sanat comes in on my board a little bit lower. I'm a little bit lower on him than most people. I've got him with a grade of 136, which kind of puts him in that range of, you can make a case for him being picked right around the 100 spot. Again, I wouldn't take him there. That's not what I'm saying when I'm talking about the horizontal board. It all depends on how the draft falls. But Ben Sanat is technically in the 144 spot on my board. He does meet the maximum threshold for the Packers at tight end. So the problem with taking Brock Bowers, if he does fall, Brock Bowers is a day one starter. There's no two ways about that. But what do you do with your other tight ends? You're going to be playing 12 personnel. Do you try to mix in 13? If you mix in 13, guess what? You're taking Wicks, you're taking Reed, you're taking those guys off the field, right? So it's like, you got to kind of look at how your roster is built right now and say, okay, to me, the strength of our roster is 11 personnel. And if Musgrave goes down or he needs a breather, Tucker Kraft can come in and fill that role. But you guys heard me on Chalk Talk all year. I was pounding the table saying, please stay in 11 personnel. It's working. Tim, that top 10 highlight reel of Jordan Love, the NFL Network did, and we broke it down in the Chalk Talk segment. Every single play was 11 personnel, was it not?
Yep.
You could see it all year, man. The offense completely opened up when we were in three wide receiver sets with 11 personnel. So I don't know. It's just something that it's something to keep our eye on as we move forward. If Brock Bowers is sitting there at 25, I'm totally on board with taking him at 25. As far as trading up to get him, I think it kind of throws a little bit of a wrench into what you're going to do schematically. It's a good problem to have, don't get me wrong. But again, going into the offseason, and this is just how I'm looking, I'm not saying this right. We had a top 10 offense, and our defense was what struggled. We came in about the 16th spot. So it's like putting all your eggs in that basket to try to get an extra tight end. I'm just not that big of a fan of. I'd much rather you take a corner there or trade up and try to get, you know, Quinyon Mitchell or whoever Goody thinks is the best corner in the draft, right? Or trade up the number one and take Tyler Newbin. You know what I'm saying? It was a joke. I'll get tweeted that for that. All right. Anything else y'all want to hit on? We're at the hour mark. See, Emilio jumps on here. It goes off the rails and this thing flies by.
I did all right. I thought I stayed on the rails.
You did all right. Other than the chat there.
Yeah.
Emilio, you got anything you want to hit before we get off here, man?
No, man. Appreciate being back. Good to see everybody. Glad the chat's still churning out. And I'm excited. What were you saying? 4 sleeps away? Is that it?
Yeah, it's that's wild, dude. Thursday, it's here, and you'll be up Friday. Is it everything still looking good on Friday?
Yeah, everything's still looking good here. Cool. So
yeah, second and third round is gonna be awesome Friday night, man.
We're here, boys. Draft week is upon us.
Right.
We thought it was never gonna get here. Where's Omer? We got 4 more days.
Yeah, we haven't seen Omer. He'll be back after the draft. Then he'll come in and go, my God, are we going to talk about history all the time? I'm tired of breaking down these prospects. What are we doing? Eric Sutherland says, I want a corner at 25 or trade back. That's how the large majority of the mocks fall for me. And I would be totally fine with taking Nate Wiggins or Kool-Aid McKinstry anybody in that range. I'll pop this up here one more time just to show you. We look at the corner, and then we'll get out of here. Quinyon Mitchell, you know, got him technically in about the 7 spot on the horizontal board. Kool-Aid McKinstry technically around the 16 marker there horizontally. And then you got this group right here of Nate Wiggins, Terry and Arnold, Cooper DeJean, and Ennis Rakestraw. I'd be fine with any of those. You know, are there any – the only one there, though, that doesn't meet the 8.3 RAS threshold that Goody kind of keys in on there with the first-round pick is Ennis Rakestraw. Other than that, I think they all kind of meet that criteria. If Rakestraw falls to 41, I'm all about that. That's for darn sure. So, yeah. Anything else? What are you laughing about, Jacob?
Nothing. Just loving Emilio back, you know.
Eric Sutherland ripping into me again. Yes, Bryce. Yes, Bryce, the series is sweet. I do like the new Fallout series. And Deadfish didn't say anything about a safety from Missouri, especially in the 200s. So that's all I'm going to say.
No, Lord have mercy. What is Deadfish doing here? all right, let's get out of here. Tim, you got anything, man? I'm tired. I've been working out all day.
I love you so much.
Working out all day.
Get it all out now, boys. It's time for business this week. Draft week is here.
Let's shirt and tie.
No.
Yeah, what are we wearing? Hey, to be honest,
what are we wearing? Oh my gosh!
I gotta break my beard out, man. I'm definitely wearing the beard.
Leo, don't laugh like that. Let's go. I'm doing a.
The way you rolled in closer, we were like, "All right, hold on." So really,
hi, I'm Date Mike. Nice to meet me.
Thank you.
Oh my god! Tuxedos, right? Tuxedos.
Tuxedos. Jacob, you can just wear the neck tats. We're all good.
I'm going to be wearing some stuffed crust pizza on my chest. I know that. Now, the 3-hour extravaganza that is the first round.
So you guys don't take this as serious as me and Emilio. You know, me and Emilio. Tuxedo, buddy? You gone?
I mean, I'll dress up.
Let's go. I'm talking suit and ties, bro. Suit and ties.
Right, cool. Yeah, let's do that, Tim. Let's do that. We'll do that.
Come on.
How are you gonna? You're gonna get pizza sauce stains on your good shirt. Mandy's gonna be pissed.
She is gonna be pissed. She's gonna be like, "We rented that thing. We got to take it back."
Hey, come on. Oh, God. Chad has spoken.
So again, people are going, "What are you guys talking about?" We're gonna be going live for all 7 rounds of the draft. So make sure you tune in. Also, God Almighty. What? Would you shut up for just 1 second, Jacob? So, talks are going. I'm trying to do a promotion here, for God's sakes, Jacob.
All right. Sorry.
So, we're going to be giving away this autographed Paul Hornung jersey. Tim had to kill the cam. We're going to give away this autographed Paul Hornung jersey on Night 1 of the draft during round 1 for our Patreon members, right? If you're a member of the Patreon PTA posse and you are supporting the channel in that regard, we're going to be putting everybody on the pinky wheel, all right? Giving away the you guys haven't seen the wheel yet, have you?
No.
Oh, man. Emilio took this up for us. Where do y'all see this?
No, I haven't seen the wheel.
Giggity, bro. When Dylan Labe, whatever his name is drafted, we're Lobby. Hitting him. Lobby. Okay. Thank you, Jacob. I know you're president of his fan club.
Giddy.
So this right here is what the wheel is going to look like.
Wait, where's Eric Sutherland? Wait, it's coming. The rigged comment is coming any minute now.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's coming. If you're a member, like I said, of our Patreon group, PTA Posse, then we will make sure your name is on this wheel. We're going to spin it during round 1, and we're going to give away that autograph.
Right there's Eric. So don't be playing no games, Eric. You're right there, man.
Exactly. So, yeah, rigged for sure. I told you this. It's the safest, most secure giveaway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't do that.
The United States. All right. So. Can we get off here now? Are we good? Everybody good? Everybody get it all out of the system? We're.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll discuss fashion advice off the air.
Need to get Caleb Williams on here to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? See if he can help us out. So, Emilio went, ooh. Hey, Emilio, did you hear the other day, Ryan, I was listening to Ryan's pod, and you know, a couple of the advertisements hit. They actually, an advertisement that played for before his show was Fallout.
Was it?
Yeah,
it was pretty cool. I missed it. I haven't listened to a bunch of them with the family in town, but no, this next week I'll be burning back through them. So I'll it's a good show. I liked it.
Yeah. Unlike this one, right? Where people are suggesting that we wear banana hammocks during the draft show. So, all right.
That's what she said.
All right. We're out. Again, make sure you're entered into the contest. We don't want people to be left out and go, oh, man, when's that giveaway? So, in another contest, too, if you go to Ryan's Twitter page, @pack_daddy, you can join a contest here. It's free. Google Docs, you just fill out that Google Docs form and try to predict the Packers draft class coming up here, and you get a chance to win a $125 gift card to Fogo, which is a Brazilian steakhouse restaurant nationwide. So make sure you guys get yourself in there. You know, like Jacob always says, you can never have too much meat. So get in there and get yourself entered into that contest. All right.
I'm so happy Emilio's back. I can't stop looking at him. That's the part of him.
All right. We're out. Thank you all so much for hanging out with us. We will see you tomorrow for PTA Live. As we get closer to the draft, rumors are going to start swirling. People are going to start smoking the devil's lettuce out of gas masks. Things are going to happen. It's going to shake things up. Jacob is going to become mature before the draft. All right. He's going to, yeah, get that straightened out. So we'll see you guys tonight. Thank you all for hanging out with us. For those of you listening on the pod, thank you for making us a part of your day. As always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world. And go, Pack, go.
The power sweep actually is the lead play in our offense.
We asked our YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet, get an isolation with the linebacker. Become a tackle, take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, we're trying to get a seal here and a seal here. Try to run this play in the alley.